I was talking about homecoming and what does homecoming mean to us? Well, if you've been to church and you've noticed behind the pulpit on the chair, there's a prayer cloth. It's called a tallit. And on that, there's an inscription on there. So when the Jewish people would come and they would put the tallit on for the prayer, they had inspiration because in the inscription that's on the prayer cloth says this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." That is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. So, if you then obey the commandments that I enjoined upon you this day, loving your eternal God and serving God with all your heart and soul, I will grant the rain for your land in season, the early rain and the late. You shall gather in your new grain, your wine and oil, and I will also provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and thus you shall eat your fill. Take care not to be lured away to serve other gods and bow to them, for the Eternal's anger will flare up against you, shutting up the sky so there'll be no rain, and the ground will not yield its produce. You will soon perish from the good land that the Eternal is assigning you. Therefore, impress my words upon your heart, bind them as a sign on your hand, and let them serve as a symbol on your forehead, and teach them to your children, reciting them when you stay at home and when you go away, when you lie down and when you get up, and inscribe them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, to the end that you and your children may adore in the land that the Eternal swore to your fathers to assign to them, as long as there is a heaven and a earth. That's Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 through 31. Now, the Jewish people has a lot of symbols and a lot of things that they use. And, of course, Jesus was raised in the Jewish faith. And the Jewish faith has a meaningful and beautiful tradition in which to bless their homes. And they hang it on their door frame. I have one on my door frame. It's called a mezuzah. Now, the word mezuzah simply means doorpost. It's a kind of a long, thin, ornate container inscribed with the Hebrew words of the Shema prayer, which I read to you a little bit ago. And that first paragraph of the Shema can be found within these tiny scrolls that's rolled up and put into this thin mezuzah and then hung on the doorpost as you go in and as you go out. And on the back, oftentimes, you'll find the word Shaddai. That's one of the Hebrew words for God, emphasizing God's power and strength to overcome evil. The mezuzah serves as a house blessing. It's a sign of Jewish identity, relationship with the living God, and a commitment to serve Him within that household. But it's also a reminder to those within. They know that they're protected and blessed by God. When they sleep within their doors, each of their doors, they renew their consciousness of God's presence with their homes and hearts. And as they guard their hearts against anything that would take place of God first in our lives, because God watches over them as well. So the mezuzah is a beautiful reminder of the earnestness and the devotedness of a covenant within our homes. More importantly, within our hearts. So that mezuzah reminds us that both our home and our heart must be a dwelling place for God. Yet another beautiful image reminds us that our home lies with God. within our hearts and no matter where we are. I think one of the most exquisite scriptures reminding us of this is the one where Jacob, ancestor of Israel, built an altar made of stone on the hillside to honor God as he slept. And in a dream, he sees a ladder or staircase descending from heaven to earth, and angels going up and down, and upon his awakening, he realized, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't aware of it. Genesis 28:16. So after this, Jacob said, I am with you, and I will watch over you, God said, as you go. Genesis 28:15. Now, Jacob's experience assures us that we can become conscious of God's presence wherever we are. A nomad, Jacob would not had a specific home as a place to hang his hat. But for him, he would be home as long as he realized that God was with him. Or, as we might say today, home is wherever God resides in your heart. What a beautiful thing, the scripture today, as we see Jesus reacting in a way that would frighten most parents. But in those days, people of a town would kind of caravan to travel from town to town to Jerusalem and to the large Jewish festivals. In this case, when all had traveled home, somewhere along the way, Jesus' parents realized that, hey, he's missing. Sounds like an episode of Home Alone, doesn't it? But instead of stopping and screaming, Kevin! Mary, the mother of Jesus, would have screamed, Jesus! Leaving the group, Jesus' parents traveled back to the temple, only to find their son still engrossed in speaking and debating with the rabbis, the teachers. While his parents are beside themselves with worry and grief, Jesus calmly responds, why were you looking for me? Don't you know that I need to be in my Father's house? An odd response indeed, but nevertheless, they tell him, hey guy, I'm okay, well, but it's time to go. And he obediently follows them back home. At least for now, where he would take some more time before his ministry would begin to grow in wisdom and stature and experience divine and human favor. While the passage may make us smile, knowing as a parent whoever lost a child, you know that lost and found thing that we've all experienced, I think, sometimes, or a child just wandered off in a public place. It's frightening. It's an experience, but not an uncommon one. But what makes this experience uncommon is that Jesus feels so completely at home in the Jerusalem temple of God, where he senses God's presence in the stories, in the scriptures of faith, and in the circle of the rabbis devoted to God's word. This would be a sign of his calling to come. For when God issues a call upon your life and my life, it's just like coming home. And you don't need to be a pastor or a rabbi to sense God's calling in your life. We all have a calling. We all hear God's voice in our lives at one time or another. And often it's a life-defining moment. For some, it could be that God had called you out of a difficult situation and to start anew. For others, God may have called you from a destructive path towards one that would heal and help you in the future. Or perhaps God calls you to a worship in music or in healing or in serving your community, a way of helping others. Perhaps God's called you with a voice of comfort in a dark and devastating time. You know, we do have a biblical mandate to encourage one another in faith. And we also know that at the time we have reached the end of our journey on this old earth, that God will, what? You got it. Call us home. For wherever we go, and whenever we go, whether in this life or the next, home is where we sense God's presence around us. And home is where we realize that God fully resides within our hearts. Whether we become aware of God's presence here in the church, oh, by the way, the Bethel, which we named the church after, simply means house of God. Isn't that cool? Anyhow, I digress. in the garden at sunrise or on the shore of the ocean or looking up in the stars, God's voice is only a moment of awareness away. Think about that in your own life. Just close your eyes for a moment and listen for God's voice. He'll speak to you. Become aware of God's presence around you and feel the warmth of the Spirit around you. Wow. No matter what message God has in store for you, and no matter where God will lead you, and no matter where you are in your life at this particular part of your journey, the moment that you feel God's presence, I can almost assure you, it'll feel like home. So as we enter into this brand new year, my prayer for all of us is that God will bless you and keep you, and then keep you safe as we come together for worship this morning, and then when we depart to go your separate ways. May the Lord continue to bless you, and may the Holy Spirit of Christ surround you and be with you wherever you live and breathe. That's cool, isn't it? You know, in March, where we always celebrate St. Patrick's Day, you think, well, there's a guy by the name of St. Patrick. He's the patron saint of Ireland, and he became and got into sainthood because he evangelized. He was a Catholic priest, and he evangelized the island that he is responsible for, Ireland. This is what he said. I want to close with these words. He said, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in every heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. May the God of peace bless you as you enter into the year 2025. But you don't have to wait for the new year. You can say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and be Lord over it. I want that love relationship with you. I don't want to wait to 25. I want to do it now. Hear, O Lord, this saint of yours telling you that they want to be a part of your kingdom. What a joy! God loves you, and so do we.